It's the state of Victorian greyhound racing and the stories behind the sport. This is RSN 927's Off the Leash.
Welcome back to RSN Central. It's 12:20. Time to welcome in Georgie Ferrugia. G'day, George.
G'day, Gareth. How are you?
Good, thank you. Now, the TAB Phoenix field is slowly but surely taking place now. You've got Jungle Juice for Jack Smith, who has been selected as Greyhound Racing New South Wales slot dog there for the TAB Phoenix. Did that surprise you in any way?
No, no, not really, no. Look, there was some big voting going on, was there? But, look, he's a very, very talented greyhound.
He is. Can he win it, Jungle Juice?
Look, you know, early doors, not when I say early doors, I mean, it hadn't been that long ago. He's gone as quick as 29.31 at Wentworth Park. He's a two-time group winner. He defeated Do It in the Queensland Derby. Look, he's a very, very talented greyhound, and we'll have a chat to Jack Smith about it. But I believe Jack has said that we won't see him on the racetrack until the Phoenix, so a couple of weeks away. But you'd guess that he'd give him another couple of looks at the meadows to give him every possible chance.
Well, Jack had Feral Frankie as the people's dog, and now he's got Jungle Juice, who's been officially announced as the people's dog there in New South Wales, and he joins us now. Congratulations, Jack. Welcome to RSN Central.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
What about Jungle Juice? Were you expecting him to win that vote? I know he's a very popular dog, but Bandinet also had his supporters. What were your expectations going into the vote?
I thought we were a chance, but I wasn't confident, of course. They were all tipping Bandinet, but the girls, Melissa, had done the social side of it, social media, because I couldn't do that, of course. And Marie done a fair bit around town, so they got into it a bit, so I was hoping.
Jack, congratulations, obviously, for getting into the Phoenix. Whose idea was it for the happy hour idea? I think that's what probably got you over the line.
I don't know, to tell you the truth. It was one of the girls, I think. Not mine, because I don't drink. I say telling them just to tell them to drink water, but anyhow, they're going to get into it, I think.
What's the story there, Georgie, with the happy hour?
I believe people rocking up to Forbes Pub on Jack's dime are going to have a couple of cold sherbets.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, while the race is on. That's what we've voted Feral there a lot. The pub's been good to us, so we thought we'd try something, you know, try and get the town involved, because they do follow the dogs. You know, Forbes has got about 9,000 people it's a good horse or a good dog. They seem to get behind it, so we're hoping that happens. So we just thought it was some sort of gimmick that might have worked. And yeah, let's hope.
Jack, I know he finished sixth in the Top Gun, but his win at the Meadows before that was outstanding from a wide draw. You must take a little bit of confidence going into the Phoenix after that victory.
Yeah, well, he's trialled there 29.70-something. That was back before the maturity. It seemed to be the more work he's getting now, he's getting a little bit more dour. Hence, we gave him a 600 at Dubbo and he won on the weekend. So now we've got to turn around and basically not do much at all. Try and get him back. Because when he come back after he won the Tamora Cup, he had 6 weeks off with a split webbing and he just absolutely flew over the flies. So he's going to have a freshen up down there for a little bit of a trial and a stir up. And, hopefully he can come out running.
Can he defeat and go with a Koblenz and an Aston Rupee at their best?
Oh, not early, no. No, you've got to be realistic. I'm hoping if we draw inside that if you've seen his group wins and that, he was always running second early and, you know, and the brother Fox, he got across from Box 8 at Dubbo, and he was running second. And then at the Flying Amy, Steve Kavanagh's dog led him, but he was underneath him quite early going around the first turn. So on his day, if he's nice and fresh, he can, yeah. But, you know, with those dogs, they're obviously got more speed than him, but we've got to hope that we can get a sit and maybe run them down.
And Jack, your former star, Feral Frankie, give us an update on him at stud. I believe he had his first runner more recently, and he's getting a lot of females.
He's going unbelievable, mate, and most of it's in Victoria for some reason. He's just, a lot of the bitches, wheelers have got behind him a lot, and they tell me there's about, someone's got about 18 of his pups down there of theirs. And we're just getting great reports. But, yeah, they haven't won too many, won one. So we're about to start racing, hopefully, and let's hope. But he's going great, mate, yeah.
How many ferals have you got there, Feral Frankie?
No, I've only got two litters. So I'm sort of quietened off on the breeding side and doing a fair bit of racing. So, no, I've got some there, but, no, I haven't got a lot.
And what about being involved now in the Tap Phoenix? What's the talk around New South Wales regarding our new slot race here in Victoria there, Jack?
Oh, I know. It's all a good concept. They're loving it. I suppose they're all a little bit dirty that I'm in it now. I don't know. But, no, they all got behind it, and it was a good promotion. If that's what it was supposed to do, it's done its work, I think. It certainly made us work a little bit harder, if that's what it was supposed to do. And the other dogs, not far from here, I trained his father and his mother, Billy Creek.
Yep.
So I'm mates with Ian, and of course, you know, that was his first city winner the other day.
It's an amazing story, isn't it, Jack? Like, his first city winner gets him into a $1.1 million race.
Yeah, well, he's sending the dog down, I believe, to Rob Britton for the couple of weeks.
Yep.
And, he's just like a deer in the headlights, mate. He didn't know what to do. He was unbelievable. Yeah, he just couldn't believe it. So it's been great. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, superb. People say he's not going to be competitive, but do you think that how do you think he'll go?
Mate, he is a good dog. And if he gets down there and had a look like Esme was going really good. I know it was over 500 yards, but he gave her a galloping lesson at Dubbo one day. Mm-hmm. And then he's gone to Wenny. Yeah, he's only won the one there, but he lives out the back of further bush than me. And it takes a few trips than that, and he's got the hang of it. Sure, he's got no early speed, but he'll just rail the hell off out of the joint. And if he can stay in touch early, he's really strong.
Yeah. It's a terrific story anyway, win, lose or draw for the Billy Creek, as you pointed out. How many dogs would Ian have?
Oh, no, his wife's not going because she's got to stay home and look after the other two. I think that's...
It's a ripper story. Oh, I love it. Good on you, mate.
He's having a ball, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's sensational. Hey, Jack, we wish you the best of luck with Jungle Juice, and we look forward to seeing you here in Melbourne, mate, for the Tab Phoenix.
Yeah, we're looking forward to get amongst you Mexicans down there, mate, yep. And hope we can get some of that money.
as long as you don't bring your mate Dave Stanley. He's not jumping on this bandwagon, is he? Of course, he does.
No, he was helping out, so, yeah.
All right, then. We wish you the best of luck, Jack.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
There's Jack Smith, 12:28. We've got this race coming up here at Devonport, Georgia, but I want to have a chat about the story there of Billy Creek and Jungle Juice. I think they're going to add a lot to the Tab Phoenix coming up in, just under, 17, 19 days now or away. It's only 19 days away from the Tab Phoenix, the first ever running of this slot race. Georgie Ferugia, let's talk about the two New South Wales representatives now in the Tab Phoenix. We'll start off with Billy Creek. Ian Gilders, his only Metropolitan winner there on Saturday night at Wentworth Park, and by winning that, Billy gets into the Tab Phoenix.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Jack hit the nail on the head. He's a greyhound that doesn't show an abundance of early speed, Gareth, but he'll be powering to the line late. Now, how fast he powers home to the line when you've got dogs like Koblenz and Aston Rupee. I mean, it's going to be a very, very tough ask, but what a thrill. I think it's more around the story for Ian Gilders having 100%. His first city winner and then into a race worth $750,000 for the winner.
Molly just texted me and she said that Molly, of course, he does a wonderful job promoting the greyhounds and she's a superstar. She just said Billy didn't even actually know he was nominated for the Phoenix when he raced in that New South Wales regional race. Or Ian, you should say, Billy's greyhound trainer. He thought it was just a promo race.
Incredible. Yeah, well, look so where
Molly
he is
Haynes
now.
There. Yeah.
And probably a good move, Garrett, to get it into the hands of Rob Britton, who'll prepare it as well as he can for Ian, and off they go.
I hope he does come down. He'll come down surely to watch Billy go around. And there's been some criticism I've read, especially from some people over there, up there in New South Wales, regarding the race wasn't designed for a greyhound like Billy Creek to get into it. It's meant to be the best v the best. Now, I don't know. People think that slot racing automatically means that you're going to get the very best greyhounds take on the very best greyhounds. It's not that at all, because you've got people picking their own dogs. So that's, you're not going to necessarily get the best eight dogs competing against each other, Georgie. I don't think you could ever say that's what slot racing is all about. You say, well, the Everest was meant. The Everest doesn't get the best. It gets the majority of the field. You have the best sprinters competing against each other, but it doesn't necessarily have the top 10 or 12 horses, the best sprinters in the land, going at each other.
I think the other thing too, Gareth, we have to realise is this is just year one. So there's going to be some tinkering and things like that. But the most important part, and how this race was marketed, was the fact that it would promote our sport. And I think it is doing that. Just quickly on Jungle Juice, Gareth, if he wins, his prize money goes to $990,000. So 10K away from a million. And don't worry, Gareth, as I said, his form at Wentworth Park earlier this year, he went 29.31, 29.49, 29.40. At his absolute best, he's a star. And you know Jack Smith will get him fresh and fired and ready to go. And if he runs 29.70, Gareth, box draw plays an important part. He's a definite chance.
So for the people that say, all right, then, you want to get outside people to the sport of greyhound racing, and that's what the Phoenix was meant to do, and you want to promote the sport and get new people involved.
Mm.
I'll bet you any money that Billy Creek will be the star attraction with all of the media outlets outside of the racing bubble. He'll be on Channel 9 News, Channel 7 News, Channel 10 News. He'll be the dog that everybody wants to chat about. Because of Ian Gildas not knowing that he was nominating for $750,000 race, that he's from country New South Wales, that he travels 5 or 6 hours to compete in city areas, that this is his dream, it would be life-changing. He will be the story of the Tab Phoenix now, Billy Creek.
The underdog with the great 100%. Narrative.
100%. He will be the story of the Tab Phoenix. And I think it's great that he's in the race. Georgie Furiger, Gareth Hall with you off the leash. So we're talking about the Tab Phoenix here with Billy Creek getting in for Ian Gildas, and we mentioned it's a terrific story. His first ever Metropolitan victory, Ian, there at Wentworth Park on Saturday. Now he qualifies for the $1.1 million Tab Phoenix, and he's in the slot there of the GTOBA. And then we've got Jungle Juice, who was voted in by the fans in New South Wales as the greyhound that they wanted to represent greyhound racing New South Wales. So they've both got no early speed, Georgie, which made my point. I've been abused a little bit on social media after I said this yesterday, that Ashton Rupee's a dead set moral in this year's Tab Phoenix. I only said that because when you have a look at the speed that'll be in this year's Tab Phoenix, it won't be anything like the Melbourne Cup. Maybe Typhoon Sammy and of course Co-blends, and they all go a straight line and they'll be in front. But it looks like to me that there's not much pace outside of those two. And he'll jump and he'll settle just on the heels of Typhoon Sammy and Co-blends. And if that's the case, they won't know which way he goes in the concluding stages, George.
Well, there certainly wouldn't be as much pace as there was in that Melbourne Cup. You're right, absolutely. So your theory is based on the fact that he's going to get into a much better position.
Correct.
Without that interference. Look, I don't think Jungle Juice is as slow early as people may be thinking. He's, as we heard from Jack Smith, he has got a little bit more dower, but that's the reasoning for the freshen up now, Gareth. So we won't see him race for another 3 weeks until the Phoenix. So Jack's hope would be that if he can draw an inside hole, 1, 2, or 3, all of a sudden, if he can get into a nice enough position where he's running 5.15, so obviously behind Koblenz and Aston Rupee, but if he can get a nice draw, The hope would be that he could run on and run up to that 29.70 trial, which he's certainly more than capable of doing. Don't worry, Jack's one of the better trainers in this country, and he'll make sure you give him every possible chance. So, yeah, look, the field is coming together, Gareth, and we get a couple more results in the next couple of days.
So Typhoon Semi, he looks like he'll be the tab slot for Jason Thompson, you would imagine.
Yeah, probably worth us getting Jason on air to speak about where Sammy's at the moment. I noticed he was scratched before the official scratchings came out on Friday, so I'm not sure if there's a niggling injury there or what it is, but be good to get a little bit of an update there. True Kalinda, I suppose, is the other smoky, in a sense, Gareth, after she was the quickest runner on all among all finalists on Melbourne Cup night. She went 29.18. Of course, she's refined the maiden, went 29.20. So a couple of fast females going around.
So at the moment, with the market, with the tab, you've got Ashton Rupee, which is at $2.70, Coblenz at $4, and then Banded Ned, that won't be in this year's Phoenix, is at $5, Typhoon Semi, $6 most likely, well, she's fast at $8. Tommy Shelby's at 10, he won't be there. Ashton Fastnet at $12, he won't be there. Good Odds Cash at $12, he won't be. Is a chance Good Odds Cash will be there, won't he?
No,
he won't be there. Lakeview Older, $12, he won't be there. True Kalinda's a chance. Aussie Secret's a small chance. Jungle Juice's at $17, he'll be definitely there. Have we seen Silver Lake? There's a text message coming through. Has he showed up yet lately?
No, he hasn't, but he is with the Jason Thompson camp. And as we mentioned on the podcast, Gareth, in regards to ability, he would be right up there. And for people asking why a couple of these would still be in the market, it's because that what's going to happen, I think, in the next week or so, Gareth, is that trainers will be allowed to nominate for the Phoenix to be the first and second reserve. So if anything does happen to the eight finalists, there will be a choice for the slot holders to pick either of those reserves. So I suppose it's not over yet for a few of them. Yeah.
And you know what people say, oh, well, the Tab Phoenix was meant to get the very best take on the very best. Well, they have a Top Gun that does that, but they couldn't even get the very best taking on each other. That Coblenz is the first emergency.
Yeah, I know, but you're looking at it from a hindsight point of view again, Garrett. They marked it on that at that time. And the Coblenz was a 50-50 one. I agree there.
Georgie, he was in the top three dogs in the country when that race was on.
Well, you said where she fast was. And
no,
she
I
went
didn't.
The other way.
No,
in
I
her
didn't.
Football.
Now you're putting words in my mouth, Georgie. We all knew that Coblenz was in the top three. And well, she's fast should have been in there for the X Factor point of view. But Coblenz was in the top. But I'm saying that more people. Yep. There would have been more interest in that race if you had.
I disagree totally with the Rushy's fast one. Coblenz, I agree, would have been if he was in there, I certainly wouldn't have gone, well, why the hell is he in there? At that point, he hadn't won a group race, and then he came out and won a Cranbourne Cup and a Melbourne
Cup. But that's my point, Georgie. So at that point, was he in the top eight dogs in the country, regardless if he hasn't won a group one?
On form, he was. But that's not what the criteria are.
I know, so that's what I mean. Yeah, so there's no criteria in greyhound racing to select the very best because it's all up for debate, really. Like my top eight dogs in the country could be different to yours. Different to other form experts or clubs.
That's why they work on the group racing stuff more than anything, Gareth, because at least then you're dealing with greyhounds who have won at the top echelon. But there's always conjecture with those last spots. Just quickly, Gareth, the Queensland Flames, an interesting race, isn't it, on Thursday? Spotted Elk is favourite at 240, her sister Extra Malt at 350. Now, they are sisters, and it just goes to show that sometimes you carry the same DNA makeup, Gareth, and you're totally different. Extra Malt is a slow beginner and absolutely powers to the line. Spotted Elk gets out and goes. So they're totally different, these two sisters. The other one in the market is Farmore Beach at $4.80. He's probably even a touch quicker than the both of them at his best. Just drawn a little bit awkwardly in box six, Gareth. But, anyone that is able to win that race, it's a high-quality race, will certainly make Queensland proud in a couple of weeks' time.
So are you with Spotted Elk? We know that we had Liam Mulry on the Thrill of the Chase there on Sunday. He indicated because of the draw, she's going to be awfully hard to beat there.
Yeah, look, I've got a little sneaking suspicion that Farmore Beach will go okay, Gareth. So I'm on him at the value at around, well, when I say value, he's around the $5 mark. So number six, Farmore Beach there. And, of course, we've got this match race between Vice Grip and Fernando Starr, which is an interesting race at Cannington on Saturday.
Who wins that?
It's tough, you know. Fernando Starr's at 80 starts. His last two runs have been almost nearly his best. He's shown really good speed. He's gone 5.43 and 5.46. So for those who don't know, that's a really good split at Cannington. So you'd suggest he might lead. But Vice Grip's recent form for young trainer Adam Smithson's been outstanding. And he was the quickest overall in 29.57.
Yeah.
It was not much between them overall. I'm going to stick with Vice Grip. He's owned by Victorian interests here. He's out of Balzeringen, who won a Sandown Cup final, Gareth. So be very interesting to see what happens there on Saturday night.
So who's your tip right now in the Tab Phoenix?
Oh, look, Rupee, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. For the reasons you mentioned, especially, the only fly in the ointment for him is if he draws off the track, Gareth, even though there might not be as much speed, you still have to try to cross from a wide draw. But I think if he draws one, two, or three, there's no way he'll start at $2.70, which I think is his current odds that you mentioned. So,
but even if he, you compare Fernando Starr there. So Ferdinand Starr, I should say. I'll get that right. So that early sectional that you mentioned there at Cannington, what would that be at the Meadows?
Well, it would be a very good split at the Meadows, but bear in mind, Garrett, that he's never been to the Meadows, and sometimes it takes them a couple of goes to get going. We see this happen to New South Wales greyhounds who come here and record really good splits at Wentworth Park, but that doesn't necessarily equate to a good split at the Meadows. So usually it takes them a while. So I'm not too – if I was Aston Rupee, I wouldn't be too worried if Fernando Starr got in. It's more the Cablens, like you said, if Typhoon Sammy's in, these type of greyhounds. So, yeah, even if it's a wide draw, I agree, Aston Rupee still will start favourite in the race. But I think he not makes a certainty of it because there's no certainties in this sport. But if he can draw it close to the fence, Gareth, he will be incredibly hard to beat. I'm actually a little bit surprised that he's still $2.70.
Yeah, he should be shorter. In a way.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
All right then, George. You just quickly, Cablens once again. It's a great story. Geez, David Gill and Rose Gill should be so proud with the way that they've gone about their business, and they've now bred two Melbourne Cup champs.
Yeah, it's a rarefied air, Garrett. They've done a tremendous job. And as we mentioned yesterday, just briefly in Form Express, there's probably a lot of greyhounds who can run 29.40, but very few can do what Cablens does out of a box. He had a greyhound that was going to track off from box one and beat him out cleanly, and that's exactly what he needed to do. These good dogs rise to the occasion, Gareth, and we've seen him on the couch, didn't we, on Thrill of the Chase, and maybe that helps his ability to do the right things out of box rise, because he seemingly is a greyhound where nothing really phases him. He seemed pretty relaxed on that couch. And David Gill alluded to the fact that he's like that until, you know, probably a couple of minutes before the start time where he might get a little bit of white line fever. So, look, he's an absolute star. Just quickly, Gareth, in regards to the Phoenix 2, do you know when the announcement for the Tab and Sportsbet will be coming through in terms of who their greyhounds will be?
Well, they're not far away. Welshie's Fast will be representing Sportsbet. And Cablens will be representing the Sports Entertainment Network. Now, whether they, well, I don't know when they're going to announce, but announce those two particular decisions, but it won't be far away, I would imagine. If Welshie's Fast drew the box number one, she would make that race interesting.
Yeah, she'll have some admirers. She certainly started. Look, her run in the Melbourne Cup heat was pretty good behind Typhoon Sammy. I just worry about where she sits on that first corner. We haven't really seen her at the Meadows yet, but I'm sure Cal has had her down there for a couple of trials.
And what about the stays there in the Boldtrice on Friday night? Gypsy Wyong back to her very best.
Yeah, the story for me is George Daly and his breeding program. As we said, the Daly team have had great support with the Wheeler family, but George is still obviously got some great Wheeler dogs. But George has taken it upon himself to have a breeding program, and Gypsy Wyong is a result of that. But as I mentioned on Thrill of the Chase, it's not just Gypsy Wyong; they've had a terrific year. But now she's a two-time Group 1 winner, Gareth. Yeah, she might have had a little bit of luck to win that Group 1 Top Gun, but there was no luck in her victory on Friday night. She was outstanding coming from behind.
Plenty to discuss heading towards the Tab Phoenix from now on, Georgie. And we've got the Hobart 1000, the Ballarat Cup coming up as well. So there's still plenty happening in the sport of greyhound racing. Good on you, mate.
We'll talk then, mate.